today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
In the travel news, the great Willinda made it over the falls, and Philly is officially the bedbug capital.
The bedbugs are back. At 2:20, our friend Ed Perkins has come up with a brazen new idea to move us through the skies quicker. Or maybe he's just lost his mind. Stay tuned.
At 2:35, Mark's got another list. Now, this one, things that you shouldn't pack in your checked bag.
And at 2:50, we're joined by Richard Lewis, executive producer of California Music Theater and the Music Circus, to share his thoughts on the coming season.
All that today on a very busy edition of The Travel Guy. Stay tuned.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Broadcasting live from the towers of the KFBK studios here overlooking the Rainbow Bread Company.
Instead of the old homeless shelter over off of Ethan Way.
We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
New digs!
Yeah, how about that? First of all, before we go any further, we must say Happy Father's Day to all the dads and potential dads out there in Radio Land, and thank you so much for giving up a few minutes of your time. You're probably on the way to the local store to pick up another six pack, but that's okay. Whatever reason to tune into the Travel Guys.
You're running out to get Dad a tie.
Yes.
Just get him a gift card. Just get him a gift card. Let him pick out his own tie.
Honest to gosh.
That's my suggestion to you.
I was talking yesterday on my FM show, the most popular or least popular Father's Day gifts, and of course the tie is the least favorite, and then for the dads that are the golfers, anything golf is the best.
Speaking of baseball, I was listening to Ted Robinson on another radio station just the other day, and he was talking about, I asked him what he liked from his kids for Father's Day, and he said cash. Speaking of baseball, Matt Cain pitched a perfect game last week.
What a week for baseball. They're still talking about it today and will be for a long time.
That was absolutely amazing. And speaking of baseball, did you know something? This is just a little tidbit here that was hidden in a bunch of travel press releases I got. Do you know the Sacramento River Cats are the most valuable team in minor league baseball?
You know, I'm guessing the reason is because they have the highest attendance.
Well, they do, and their revenue is the highest, and they have one of the nicest stadiums, but they are considered to be the most valuable team in all of minor league baseball. So while the Kings can't get their way out of a wet paper bag, at least we've got one good franchise.
Way to go, Kings. By the way, the thing I've noticed most about the new facility here,
yes, sir,
is we've gone from the smell of the racetrack to the smell of baking bread. Now, you can't improve much more.
There were
than
some
that.
Other smells at the old building, but we won't go into those.
Yeah, listen to Pat Walsh. He'll explain those. Or Joe and Jack, they used to cover that pretty well as
pretty
well.
Pretty well.
Okay, on we go. It's the Travel Guys, and the first thing we do with every program is bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news, and of course, that comes in Mark's department. Mark, what do you got?
All right, fresh off the boat from Cape Cod. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the bottom of the hour. Let me give you some travel news for today here quickly. Remember we told you that the Love Boat had been bought and it was going to be scrapped and destroyed and everything? Well, I guess maybe not. It's won a reprieve. The scrap company that bought it has defaulted on its payment, and the ship is up again once for sale. So you could actually have the Love Boat. I don't know where you would park it or, Tom, perhaps.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't your neighbors think that was kind of cool?
I think that would be great. They might be a little concerned if they didn't recognize it immediately that I was building an ark or something.
Right on full. You know, the Queen Mary is an old hotel.
Sure.
I mean, maybe we could make the Love Boat into a hotel.
Put it on Front Street.
Here's something a little less bright as a subject. You remember the story about the guy who went nuts and he killed a gentleman in Miami and started eating him, cannibalizing him when the police got him?
And you're really bringing this up.
The Miami, the history Miami Museum has put the location of the May 26th face-eating attack on its Mystery Mayhem and Vice crime tour.
No, that's sad.
That well, you know, listen, in Hollywood, people go to places in when they give the tour of Sacramento, Tom, to tourists, mm-hmm. they take them. What was the gal's name who buried all the people and took their? So that's
her house.
Yes, her house. Puentes, was that her name?
Yes, Puentes.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Philadelphia takes the top spot for the most bed bug infested city in the United States. If you remember, the travel guys were first on this story over 2 years ago when bed bugs first started to infect travelers across the country.
I won't begin to tell you what that has done to the to my wife in regards to our travel. If it does, if it's if there if first place she looks is the bed
she
bug
takes
list. To see if that hotel or is on the bed
bug. You can go to
list.
TravelGuysRadio.com for the whole list, but here's the top 15 quickly in ascending order. Philadelphia, Cincinnati, New York, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, San Francisco, Denver, New Haven, Connecticut, Dallas, Houston, Indianapolis, Miami, and Cleveland. You'll note that there are three cities from Ohio on there, only one from California. That would be our friends in San Francisco. As you're getting ready to hit the road this summer, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll have this list, but just a couple of ideas for you. Avoid storing your clothing in a hotel's furniture drawers. Store your suitcases on a luggage rack as far from the bed as possible. Between trips, store luggage in a sealed plastic bag. Boy, this is the people are not going to do this stuff. I mean, we've got bed bugs all over the place.
I will do that.
If you suspect your hotel has bed bugs, ask for a change of rooms. Either that or move over and give the bed bugs room in the bed next to you.
I will do that.
Bed bugs should only be treated by a trained pest control professional, which is important because this list of the top 15 bed bug cities, who do you suppose it was compiled by? Terminix.
Well, of course.
They checked with all 300 Terminix branches across the country, and that's how they figured out where the bed bugs are.
Did you see bed bugs should only be trained by what?
Should only be trained by?
What did you say? The bed bugs should only be trained by? No, you didn't, but that's what you should have said. I can see somebody training bed bugs.
Bed bugs are moving on here. All right, Yosemite National Park, another serious story here. Yosemite National Park has closed 18 cabins in Curry Village. They have decided that a recent survey has shown them that the possibility of rockfall hazard line in Yosemite Valley is a little bit greater than what they thought. There are a lot of loose rocks, as you might imagine, all around Yosemite Valley, and they're afraid that they will fall down and go boom. So some of the campsites have been closed or relocated along with even some employee housing. There have been over 900 rock falls at Yosemite Park documented since the early 1930s.
Yosemite in the news on Friday night, sold out, all the cabins. The place is just going crazy.
All the everything. I recommend that if you haven't gone to Yosemite yet, wait until after Labor Day. Remember the JetBlue pilot, Tom, who went kind of berserk on the airplane, had to be subdued by his own folks and some of the passengers? He has been declared mentally competent to stand trial. A judge in Amarillo decided that the 49-year-old Clayton Osborne is mentally competent to be able to stand trial for what he did on the airplane. Meanwhile, a group of passengers who were aboard that March 27th JetBlue flight from JFK have filed a lawsuit against the pilot and against JetBlue Airlines for being grossly negligent in allowing the captain to fly. The lawsuit alleges that Osborne caused significant distress to the passengers, specifically by yelling obscenities and things such as, "Say your prayers, we're all going down, I'm going to show you Iraq and Iran right now, and there's a bomb on board." JetBlue does not offer comment on pending legal. Well, you know, we always wondered what it was that he said, and now we're kind of finding out what it was. No wonder JetBlue didn't want to say what he said. This guy really did. I would suggest to you, when your pilot comes out of the cockpit and starts saying we're all going down, you know, that's really not necessarily a good thing, or probably not all that funny either. Unless you've been in a cave, you know that Nick Walenda crossed Niagara Falls on a tightrope on Friday night, witnessed by tens of thousands of people. He said he didn't even need the tether line that was attached to him.
Well, of course not.
Well, and there you go. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, your travel news for today.
All right. Just on the other side of the break, Ed Perkins. And Ed's going to be talking about
checked bags. And Ed has a really revolutionary idea about checked baggage, or maybe not so much. We'll find out right after the break. We're the Travel Guys. This is FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman right across from me here from Sports Leisure Vacation. Been on the road quite a bit, Mark.
Yes, I have. Just returned the other day from a lovely trip to Cape Cod. We'll have to talk a little bit about that. It was we really had a very, very, very good time. Wonderful group of people, and we were blessed with some really good weather. So that always helps. It's never nice to come home to Sacramento when it's 100 degrees outside.
Or today's better. Yesterday, I don't know what it is, 105, 106 on Saturday.
It's just icky, and sometimes it gets that way in the summertime. However, just not too far to the north of us, a few hundred miles, sits our good friend Ed Perkins in Ashland, Oregon. And Ed, who writes for smartertravel.com, and Ed had an article this week, published a column, says, will more airlines charge for oversized carry-on bags? And Ed, who has been very much a consumer advocate over the years, has come up with an idea that it might be time for airlines to start charging for carry-on bags, which is bound to be a very unpopular point of view. So we thought we would get Ed on the air here with us before the people of Ashland attack and stone him in his own home, and so that we would at least say that we were the first ones to talk to him about it. Good afternoon, Mr. Perkins.
Good afternoon to you.
Welcome, Ed.
It's a pleasure to have you here on the Travel Guys once again, sir. Ed is our globe-trotting friend who just recently completed an around-the-world tour to exotic places like Beijing and Istanbul, and spent some time in Italy, wasn't it, Ed?
Yep, in the Val d'Aosta.
Ah, yes. So looking back on that grand trip of yours now that you've had a few weeks to kind of absorb it all, was it everything you wanted it to be?
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. It was a combination of revisiting some places I loved in Italy and France and some places that I'd missed along the way in my many years of travel.
Now,
so it was worth it on both scores.
Well, and so you were on lots of airplanes, and I don't know if this had anything to do with your column last week about carry-on bags. As you have observed, we have a bit of a problem on airlines these days because the airlines are charging for luggage, so everybody is carrying everything they possibly can onto the airplane with them in increasing sizes and shapes and smells, and it's becoming a big issue because planes can't. And inevitably, you get to the end of the boarding process, you get almost to the end, and you've got four or five bags that have to be checked at the gate. They have to be hauled all the way back up through the aisle and sent downstairs and put on board. And oftentimes, this is a 10-12-minute procedure. It's causing, I'm sure, a lot of delays. It's obviously causing frustrations with flight crews. It may have even caused some frustration with you, Mr. Perkins.
Yes, it did, although not so much on this last round-the-world trip as it did on my previous trip in the U.S., where I was on, I think it was something like 8 different flights on over the course of a week, and all but one of them was delayed because of the problem of too much stuff in the overhead bins.
Wow.
So this really is a problem. Now, bear in mind that I got your intro, and the operative word right now is oversize.
Yeah, I heard that, and here again, that's the difference between the stuff that you can stick under the seat in front of you and those that that have to.
Well,
have
we
to
all
go
see these. They come down the aisle. I saw a couple of them the other day. They're people carrying stuff down the aisle that is bigger than a standard carry-on. And Ed, they've got those sizers at the gate. Why do they not use those? And would those do any good?
I don't know why they don't use them. I haven't seen one used in years, and they're just sitting there. I mean, maybe people sit on them, or they may set their baggage down on them, because the baggage that they carry on often probably wouldn't fit in it. And
aren't they supposed to? You know, isn't it to the advantage of both the airlines and the passengers for them to check that stuff? Why are they not checking those sizes?
You'd have to ask them. All I can say is that they obviously don't. That they have their carry-on policies, and they obviously, for the most part, ignore them. They let people bring on just all kinds of huge pieces of baggage and luggage, and it does, in fact, use up too much space overhead, and it delays things. It makes life very difficult for the people who board late, because if you don't get in one of those early boarding groups, at best you're going to be looking up and down the aisle regardless of where you're sitting. You'll be hunting up and down the aisle for a few inches of space overhead, and at worst, then you have to go back up to the front and have the thing checked. So it's a problem, and I think that rather than charge for all carry-on, it would benefit everybody if maybe what they did was enforce the existing rules on maximum sizes and charge either charge people to bring more on or just don't let them.
I can't agree with you more, Ed, because of the fact that all it would take is these folks, and it's got to be a system-wide thing. You cannot have the guy in Kansas City saying, well, I know Joe Smith, so Joe, it's okay for you to take that oversized bag on, because then when Joe gets to the gate one day and the agent he knows isn't there, he's going to get all up in the air arms because they've always let me carry this bag on before. So you're right, Ed, if all they would do is take those sizers, which I don't know if they're even the right size anymore, but the bin sizes have changed a little bit. Legitimately, a carry-on bag shouldn't be any bigger than can be put either wheels first or wheels last into a carry-on bin. Because if it's too big and you have to put it sideways, you effectively have blocked someone else from putting a bag up there.
Yeah, recently I was on a flight and I saw a guy put on a big aluminum suitcase of some kind that must have been at least 3 feet long. And it just took up basically two or three rows worth of overhead space for people who came afterward. So it just seems to me that everybody, except the very few that insist on carrying all their possessions on the airplane with them, that except for those people, everybody would be better off if the airlines enforced their size requirements.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem, too, we always suggest to folks that when airlines, many of the airlines, United is pretty famous for this, they're already aware of what's about to happen when you board the airplane. So knowing the plane is full, they make an appeal to people who have larger carry-on bags to please let them have them now. They won't charge you for them. You've made it through security with it. And just if six or eight people just took advantage of that opportunity, check those bags, then oftentimes that would alleviate the entire process.
Well, that's right. And I was earlier this year, I was on a couple of U.S. Airways flights, and only one of them did they make an announcement while the boarding was about two-thirds full. They made an announcement out in the boarding area, said the overhead bins on this flight are full. If you can't fit your carry-on under the seat in front of you, you have to check it right now. But that's only one time I saw that happen.
I have a bone to pick here, Tom and Ed, about carry-ons, and this happened to me several times
okay.
in my last
yeah, more picky
and
boner.
More and more people are carrying backpacks onto the plane.
Oh, sure. I've done
and
that.
And if you're carrying a backpack on the plane, please do all of us a favor and take the backpack off when you get on the plane.
Right.
Because if you don't and you're on the plane, you don't realize it, but every time you turn around, you smack somebody in the head or the arm with that backpack. And
that would be true.
I wouldn't be surprised if my shoulder is covered with bruises, my right shoulder, from just being. And if people don't realize that they're getting on the plane, and it can happen to you five, six, seven times if you're not paying attention.
And it's not easy to take a backpack off once you're on the plane either. So there's an advantage for you to do that.
And Ed's proactive. Active comments. Yeah. So there was one flight attendant on a smaller plane, regional jet, who was standing at the doorway, and she said to everyone, "You might want to take your backpack." And she must have said it 12 times.
Boy.
Off now, because it'll be very difficult to take it off when you get down the aisle.
Right.
And she was, of course, absolutely right. So, Ed, I'm a bit battered and bruised from people's carry-ons myself.
Yeah, I know, and it's just the whole thing is that the problem is that people. The airlines created the problem in part by charging for checked baggage. So
right.
That gives everybody an incentive to take more carry-on. So then the result of this is delays and confusion in the boarding process, and that doesn't do anybody any good either. So I don't know what the final answer is, but I would like to see size limits enforced, realistic size limits enforced on carry-on. I think that would speed things up for everyone.
It makes you wonder, Ed, how many people have missed the connection because a plane pushed back from the gate 10 minutes late and got to the hub airport, and that 10 minutes made all the difference. And the reason it was late is because of bags that had to be checked at the last minute, and then people missed their connections. It must be costing the airlines a tremendous amount of dollars. I think you've called attention to something here that is on the minds of all of us who travel. Why am I not surprised? Ed Perkins from SmarterTravel.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today, my friend.
Always nice to be with you.
Okay, be safe there up in Ashland, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Coming up in 6 minutes after the news, 10 things you should never pack in your checked bag. I'm Mark Hoffman. He's Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFPK. A quick update for our sports leisure travel listeners. Two lucky sports leisure listeners today have won $100 in travel cash just for listening to the Travel Guys. If you are Dick Bamer or Kamiko Chambers, Dick Bamer or Kamiko Chambers, and you're a member of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, you give us a call Monday or Tuesday at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. And you can claim $100 in travel cash just for being a listener of the Travel Guys. At Sports Leisure Vacations, we remind you to go to sportsleisure.com, sign up for our by invitation only to give you an opportunity to attend such concerts as Andrea Bocelli and Tony Bennett. Two big names that you can go see with Sports Leisure Vacations. Also, coming up in August in San Francisco, the hit Broadway show Les Miserables. You can go there with Sports Leisure Vacations. Several departures available. Day trips to San Francisco to see terrific theater. Go to sportsleisure.com for details.
Welcome. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations across the way. I'm Tom Romano. Welcome back. We've got a fun show underway. And Mark, I wanted to begin this segment by giving you an update on what went on with the wedding dress.
Oh, the wedding dress. Yes, you had to get the wedding dress on the airplane and get it all the way to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, well, first of all, Amanda was fortunate enough that her at that time a future mother-in-law volunteered to bring the dress so that she wouldn't have to bring it with also two dogs.
I see.
So anyway,
so mother-in-law gets on the plane with the dress.
And from Houston, Texas. They fly United, and the moment she walks onto the plane, the stewardess says, "Can I help you with that? May I take that dress? And we're going to hang it in the captain's closet." Can you believe that kind of courtesy?
Well, that's amazing, and especially since it was probably was more likely to have been the flight attendant than the stewardess, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, flight attendant. Stewardess. Did I say the stewardess?
It's all right. that's all right. It was done without malice intended, I'm sure.
That's true.
But so anyways, and what does that point out except that what a positive way to handle a situation. Now, everybody on the plane knows that there's a wedding dress up there and everybody's all excited instead of, you know, what's this blocking the overhead bin here? Let me shove my suitcase on top of
that. Got it. So. Speaking of suitcases, on the way back to San Antonio and flying Southwest, it looks like one of their bags got backed over by a bus. I'll have Ryan put that up on the website for
next
week.
Stay tuned next week for the saga of the crushed luggage.
You know,
I guess
we should have gone to Holloway Travel and gotten one.
You
of
think you should have gotten one if you'd have gone over to Holloway Travel on Fulton Avenue between Hurley and Northrop.
Open 7 days
a week. Packinglight.com or packinglight.net. You can shop not only online, but also in the store. Anyway, you were saying if you'd gone to Holloway and gotten some decent luggage, you wouldn't have had this issue.
Yeah, I know John's got that stuff that would actually survive backing over by
I've
got
to go see John. I've said this for months now. You know, my lifetime luggage is 3.5 years, 500,000 miles old. One of the wheels on one of it is it goes clickety clack when I go through the air. It's amazing. Hey, listen, here's something online. Before we get to my list here, I want to remind folks of something. This has been going on now for a few months. It appears to only be U.S. Airways. There are spam mails that go out. Maybe you've gotten some of these, Tom, but I get a lot of them. It says U.S. Airways reservations, and it's telling you confirm your U.S. Airways online reservation. So if you had a reservation with U.S. Airways, you'd see this in your email, and you might think, oh, my goodness, even if it was in your spam, and think this might be a legitimate something I need to check on
this.
Do not. It's a worm. It gets into your computer. It's not going to tear it up too bad, but it's going to be a major inconvenience. I know this. Why do I know this? Because a friend was infected by it. So if you see something that says U.S. Airways reservations, you can open it, but do not click on anything on it. It will make it – you will see that the – list the flight to the time and departure, and you'll quickly see that that's not anything that has anything to do with any place you're going, and you won't have to to be bothered with it. But just be careful, would you please?
All right. Let's see. As we know, everyone that listens to this program and Mark's personal friends, he is a list fanatic. And today we've got something.
I only share a small percentage of the lists that come across my path, you know.
All right. And this particular list has to do with things that you don't want to pack in your bags that are checked.
I thought that since the summer vacation is coming up, it would be helpful to folks who listen to the travel guys here to be able to know some of the things you really shouldn't put in your checked bag you should always bring with you on the airplane.
Now, I have not seen this list, ladies and gentlemen, and if I may venture a guess, at least one.
Well, the first one that it lists here is jewelry and valuables. I mean, you do not want to, first of all, if you're traveling and you're not going to something where you absolutely need all your bling bling, leave your bling bling at home, because there are lots of opportunities for it to disappear in the whole baggage process at hotels, things like that. Why people carry expensive jewelry and valuables with them on the road, I have absolutely no idea, but I really recommend you leave those at home.
Well, here's my guess, or my comment. Number one, my blood pressure medicine.
Ah, medication. Yes. It's amazing how many people would put medication in their checked bag. Now, if I were to put medication in my checked bag, that would be fine, but I would take, you know, a 3, 4, 5-day supply out, put it in my carry-on bag, so if my checked bag didn't show up, I wouldn't die on the other end. Another important thing that you might consider, I saw this happen in San Francisco. We were getting on the little puddle jumper at San Francisco Airport on United a couple weeks ago, and this lady was going ballistic because it's a little tiny plane and it won't accommodate any kind of carry-on of any size. Ed Perkins would be proud. And you have to put it on the little cart, you know, and they give it back to you. And she had her passport.
Ooh.
In there. And she went ballistic because, sure, you know, my passport. So they got it for her and everything, and while we took a 10-minute delay. Don't put your passport in your carry-on bag. Don't even put it on something that you're going to have to, on a regional jet or a little puddle jumper, have to leave and be disconnected from it. Don't do it. Your passport, your boarding passes, your identification. It's amazing. You'd think that would be a no-brainer, but for a lot of folks, and we mentioned before, you go through security, you show your ID, you take your ID, you take a few seconds right then to put it back where your ID goes. Don't put it in a pocket or slip it into your purse somewhere. Put it back where it belongs so that when you go to get it the next time, it'll be there. All right, next on the list, things that you don't want to pack in your checked bags, cash and credit cards.
Okay.
Now, for the same reason as the jewelry, obviously, that's pretty much a no-brainer. Cash and credit cards, you don't lock your bags anymore because of the TSA rules.
Right.
We'd like to think that everybody who touches our suitcase along the way is completely honest and upstanding citizen, but we all know that's not the case. So don't put cash and credit cards in your suitcase. If you want to keep an extra credit card away from your wallet or your purse, put one discreet credit card in your carry-on bag. Somewhere where you know where it is, so if something happened and you lost your wallet or something, you would still have that one card until you were able to get other cards replaced.
Well, there you go.
Does that sound like a good idea?
Yes.
All right.
Excellent. What else you got?
Laptop and electronics. Anything that – camera, tape recorder, iPad, anything like that, you want to carry that with you. Same reason as the cash and jewelry thing. It's an easily negotiable instrument, but also it's something that can easily get damaged. So you don't want to put something in your checked bag that's going to show up on the other end looking like those two suitcases of your daughter.
Right. Oh, my gosh. We were so thankful that we didn't ship back some of the wedding gifts or pictures or that kind of stuff, because the thought was there, you know, we could bubble wrap this.
When you folks see these suitcases next week, I mean, you will know that there was never a better time for this list. Lighters, matches, and flammable items. The TSA has a checklist of prohibited items if you go to TSA.gov. But they don't want you taking gunpowder, hand grenades, tear gas, vehicle airbags. Can you believe that somebody would put a vehicle airbag? I don't know why you would put a vehicle airbag in your suitcase, but imagine that coming undone in flight in the cargo hold.
Oh my.
I'm just guessing that would cause some problems.
Somebody must have done that once. That's why it's on the list.
They must have. Quickly, here's some other things not to put in your checked bag. All of your clothes.
Sure. You always want to carry one change of clothes with you just in case you get someplace. And I've known folks who have. It's only happened to me once, but it was only for a half a day. But can you imagine going 3 or 4 days waiting for your luggage to show up and all you got is clothes on your back?
I remember the husband of a late tour director of mine, Tom, many years ago, he used to tell his wife before she left, there's two things you need to take with you when you go to Lake Tahoe on a day trip just in case the bus doesn't come home, snowstorm, something like that. Clean underwear and a toothbrush. And greater words were never spoken. I pair of underwear and an extra toothbrush in my carry-on bag. It's a very small thing, but those are the two things that you will miss the most if your luggage doesn't show up. But seriously, if you're going on a 10-day trip or you've got an incredibly important business meeting the next day, a backup pair of clothes that just in case your bag is one of the 1 in 1,000 that doesn't get there wouldn't be a bad idea. All right, breakable items. We talked about medications already, so that's out of the way on the list here. Breakable items. Don't put anything in there that is of any great value. I don't care how tightly you wrap it, especially if you have a soft-sided bag.
Mm-hmm. Most people do.
And if you do and you have a bottle of wine or something and you just have to bring it home, you have to wrap it, put it against the hard edge of the suitcase.
Well, you should get one of those. There's a couple, two or three different kinds of wine bottle shipping containers.
Absolutely.
Ed sells them at his store. They're like looks like a water wing. It's inflatable and it protects
your wine bottle. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Film. You don't want to put film in your checked luggage just because those are going through different X-ray machines.
Film. What is that?
Few people still use that if you've got a portable camera, throwaway camera, something right. like that. Food and drink. I thought this was probably – it's the last item on the list. By the way, this entire list is at travelguysradio.com.
So well, of course it is.
If you're not writing it down, well, you can see it there. The last item on the list, food and drink.
Food and drink. Well, that crossed my mind because, I want the food and drink while I'm in flight.
Yeah, and the other thing is that
But people like to do that.
Well,
they like to have things so that when they show up at the destination, they don't have to, go to the local grocery
store.
Listen,
Tom, when I go to a foreign country, I bring a couple of packages of beef jerky with me.
Sure. Now, so why not food and drink?
Well, because if it isn't properly packaged, imagine that you brought, some of grandma's whatever special that
yes.
she made for you and you carefully put it in the bag and stuff. What if the bag gets lost and it doesn't come to you for 2 or 3 or 4.
Oh, I see.
You see.
Your cookies are your brownies.
Could start to take on a whole new life of their own. Plus, if you had something breakable in there that was liquid
sure.
and it did break and your bag was lost for several days, why then the chances of anything being worth anything in that bag are probably non-existent.
Okay.
So food and drink. And please don't bring in the food and drink that you do bring on the plane. Try not to bring something stinky like tuna fish or something like that. If you're sitting in the seat, it's amazing the stuff they sell on those carry-on food
sure.
things.
I've never been stuck next to somebody eating Doritos, Doritos are great if you're eating
if
them
you're
at the
eating
same
them,
time.
Absolutely.
But if not, the smell of Doritos, if you're not eating them,
pet
in my
peeve,
world,
the smell
is...
of 50 people eating peanuts at the same time on a Southwest plane. yes. All right. We are the Travel Guys. We have a very special guest coming up. Richard Lewis from comes and talks to us about the new season of the Music Circus. And we're going to ask Richard a little bit about the history of one of Sacramento's most esteemed entertainment venues.
Don't go away. We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Welcome, my friends. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation, who takes his travelers to just every high quality and fun entertainment venue all over the planet. And I am a big fan of both the Music Circus and a huge fan of the Cosmopolitan Cabaret. So it's the entertainment segment time, and we are so fortunate to have with us Richard Lewis.
Richard is the executive director. Is that right, Richard?
Actually, it's executive producer.
Executive
for
producer.
California Musical Theater.
Ah, okay, which also includes the Music Circus.
Music Circus, Broadway Sacramento, and the Cosmopolitan Cabaret, where Triple Espresso is currently running.
You're practically a corporate conglomerate already. Before we get to Triple Espresso, which is just started, let's talk a little bit about the Music Circus this year. You've gone to a little bit different format after many years.
It's not that it's a little bit different. It's a big, big difference. This is like my 42nd or 43rd summer on the payroll. And up until this year, all the shows that we've done have run basically back-to-back over a 7-8 or even sometimes a 9-week period. So this year we decided that it's time to make a change. because we wanted to see if we couldn't get some of our subscribers to come back to us, because some of them had kind of faded away over the last couple of years. And so we decided to remove the barrier that would be a time commitment. Instead of 7 weeks back-to-back, now they are going to see 5 productions, but there will be time off in between each show. And also that meant that we could lower our subscriber prices. Instead of 7 productions, they're only getting 5. And the way we've got it priced, you can buy 5 shows for the price of 4. And so that's turned out to be very, very popular. We're now at 134% of our subscriber base from a year ago. We picked up 1,200 subscribers, and we are very, very pleased with that result. And that tells us that the changes that we've made to the schedule and the pricing have actually turned out to be very popular.
Now, I'm guessing this is also going to help. Probably, if it has to be incredibly hectic, putting on, I know at the Music Circus, one show is on the stage, you know, one show is in rehearsal, one show is packing up to leave. I mean, I've always marveled at the fact that you put on so many productions in a short period of time. I'm going to guess that perhaps the quality of the productions may, not that there's anything wrong with the quality of the productions, but I'm guessing having a little bit of time between them will allow you to tighten them up a little more and even improve the quality of what we see on the stage.
Well, actually, it won't be about a qualitative change as much as it will be about a we have like several nights off change. The production staff, cast and crew, and everybody will have actually a little bit of their evenings off between one show and the next, which is, of course, a very positive thing. It means people get a little bit more rest. But it's still a very hectic schedule. I know yesterday Greece started their rehearsal, and they're looking forward to opening on June 26th. And that show, actually, the ticket sales have gone really, really, really well. We're actually looking at a show that we feel is well on its way to doing 90% plus, which is exactly what we need. And, of course, at the same time that they're actually rehearsing Greece, then they're working on Little Mermaid and how we bring that magical Disney piece to the stage.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, the thing I love about the Music Circus, and particularly your lineup that you have this year, is its classics. It's, you know, not that a lot of the newer productions, more avant-garde stuff that comes and goes, but they're real classics, ones that people know that have loved for years, like Grease and The Music Man and Fiddler on the Roof. And that's really swell.
Right? Well, I think they close the season this year with one of my favorite shows that hasn't been in Sacramento for a few years, called Crazy for You, which was a big smash on Broadway a number of years ago, and really lent itself, at least in its first trip around with Music Circus. It was a wonderful. Richard, I just came from Cape Cod last week, and they're quite proud there in Chatham, Massachusetts, of their tent. Summer stock, where they don't do exactly musicals, but they do entertainment, and they were bragging that it was the only summer stock tent left in the United States, and I just chuckled to myself. I didn't want to be rude to the guide, but I looked around the bus, and I saw all of the other people, mostly from Sacramento, kind of chuckling to themselves, because we knew that she had perhaps made just a bit of a faux pas there. This really is, the Music Circus really is a throwback from another era.
Absolutely. When you're looking at something that started in 1951, my father, Russell Lewis, and his partner, Howard Young, wanted to do what was called a tune tent. There currently, at that time, there were none west of the Mississippi, and they were actually looking at a space in Southern California, but Eleanor McClatchy convinced them that Sacramento would be a great place to try this out. So in the summer of 51, they launched Music Circus, and they figured it would last maybe 5 years. So 62 years later, here we are, and you are right to chuckle about the tent comment, because the Wells Fargo Pavilion, even though it is air-conditioned and features a lot of...
Praise the Lord.
Yes, but it is still a fabric-covered structure, which in fact defines a tent.
There you go.
And there you have it to all you folks in Chatham with your nose in the air on you. We have our tent, too, and our tent is way better than your tent, because their tent is actually a tent and has the old swamp coolers attached and stuff, and we all know about those days. So, Richard, it sounds like a wonderful season is coming up for Music Circus, and I congratulate you. I'm looking at the list here of some of the folks: Shirley Jones, Patrick Cassidy, Adrian Barbeau, Vicki Lewis. I also see where you say Broadway veterans and Music Circus favorites. favorites. Some names that I recognize, having now watched Broadway shows for a couple decades myself. And you've got some real strong talent, and that has really been a signature of the Music Circus in recent years, is that you have really put the accent on top quality professional actors and actresses. And doing theater in the round is not an easy thing to do, so it requires people who have some real skills. I want to shift gears just for a second here before we run out of time and ask you about the new show at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret, Triple Espresso.
Triple Espresso is a play that I saw in London, actually, back in 2002, and I laughed so hard that my mouth hurt. It was one of the funniest, most enjoyable, most entertaining shows I've ever seen, and so we couldn't really do anything with it back in 2002, but once we got the cabaret opened in 2008, it went on my list. There were some other titles that we wanted to put on the stage before that, but it was finally, the time was right to put Triple Espresso on the stage, and we've done it, and it is a terrific production. It's really, really well produced, and we are really enjoying the level of ticket sales that we've achieved so far, and we look forward to the show.
Richard, for folks who haven't been to the cabaret, what does the ticket cost there? Give them an idea.
You know, you can get tickets start at $20, and the average, when you look at it, you know, when I look at like the week's gross or whatever, the average is around $32. But I know we have tickets that start as low as $20. And it's only 200 seats, and there's not a bad seat in the house.
No, we've been there we've had our company Christmas parties there a couple of years, and you're right, there is not a bad seat in the house, and the productions are really always enjoyable. I should remind our Travel Guys listeners that you can go to travelguysradio.com. We'll have links to the Music Circus and the Cosmo Cabaret, but also next week here on the program, we have some sets of tickets to Triple Espresso, and we will be giving those away to lucky listeners next week. So if you're not inclined to buy a ticket, if you listen to our program next week and a mooch one.
Check it out. Let's just see if this works. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Nothing more than feelings. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, gonna do the jitterbug down in Muskrat land and the shitty.
Well, there you go.
It's a little Triple Espresso in the background there.
Yes, sir.
I see. All right. From the magic.
And it's important to note, too, Cafe Bernardo is up and running, going full bore, as well as K-Bar. So Randy Perugieri's done a terrific job.
So now you can eat at the cabaret again.
Yes, and the menu is a much more attractive
awesome
price point.
Great place, great way to spend a summer evening downtown. Go down, see the show, have dinner. Richard, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for being a part of something that there are a few things that always a short list of things that define a community. I really do believe that fabric colored Wells Fargo tent is one of those things that defines this community. So congratulations on the new schedule, on the good ticket sales, and I hope you have a wonderful season.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard. Well, we are the Travel Guys, and that wraps up our program for today. Mark, what do we got next
week?
Well,
coming up next week, I mentioned we've got the giveaway on Triple Espresso, all of those tickets, so you'll want to be listening in for that. And we're going to have an Ask the Expert session next week so that you can call in and ask anything you want that has to do with travel. That's on the Travel Guys next Sunday at 2 o'clock. We are the Travel Guys. An hour a week is all.